behind this cooperation. So the whole idea about the cooperation probably started sometimes in November 2016, when the Committee of Plenipotentiaries of JINR took place in Krakow, and part of the meeting was also visiting the site of Solaris that was under the construction back then. A little bit later, so about 2 years later, in exactly a year ago, in January 2018, the first idea, the first outline of the idea of the cooperation have been outlined in front of the members of this PAC at the 47th meeting. So that happened in January 2018. Shortly after that, director of Solaris, Marek Stankiewicz, gave the report about the status, and then finished storage ring, finished synchrotron Solaris. He gave the report to the Scientific Council, I believe. And from that moment, pretty much we started the work engaging our specialists, our experts, and coming up with the ideas what we would like to have there, what access to what kind of instruments, what kind of science we would like to do there, and what kind of instrument to design there. And as a result of that, there was at this PAC meeting in June 2018, last year, we have proposed some parameters of these stations that we would like to have there, and type of these stations. So we gave a proposal, desires that we would like to have there. And actually, in the very same months, there was a visit of General Director of JINR, Matveyev, who came to Krakow and signed the agreement that actually gave the official start to the cooperation. And so since June 2018, we have an official agreement between the two sides, and we are going ahead with putting together real design of these instruments and being much closer to the real construction of these instruments than before. Now, so what we are talking about, what kind of science, of course, we are talking about the laboratory for structural research in the area of condensed matter research. The name has been selected SolCris, as it's at the Solaris, and there is a crystallographic in it. This kind of research, it will cover a lot of areas. First of all, material science, different structural crystallographic properties of the materials, including semiconductors, alloys, nanocomposites, polymers. Of course, part of that is also chemistry, pharmacy, and not to forget structural biology. There will be quite some focus also on the resolving the structure of proteins, resolving the structure of various biological objects. So there will be a biological focus as well. Pretty much all of these directions, these fields are at the moment present also in the topical plan of the JINR. So these two directions, or the two laboratories, meaning Solaris, the plan for SolCris, and the plan that we have at JINR, are well aligned and have a very good chance of success being done in a real collaboration matter. To do that kind of research, there have been selected more or less three beamlines or three end stations that will be constructed, or we are proposing to construct. Of course, it will be the macromolecular crystallography station. I've already mentioned bio-oriented small-angle X-ray scattering, but it's not only bio. And powder diffraction in a wide range of temperature and pressures. This is especially, this is an expertise coming from our laboratory of neutron physics, where we do these kind of experiments on neutron instruments regularly, and we would like to have the complementary method available using X-rays. Now, okay, so coming to the progress now, based on the all these various activities that I have already mentioned, our colleagues from Solaris, from Krakow, made a visit to FMB laboratory in Oxford in November last year. One of the parties in the visit was Professor Matej Kozak, who is also present today in at our meeting. And so they went to the to the laboratory to discuss the possibility of building, first of all, the Wiggler, so the device for creating X-rays, and later on also all the other components, and basically start the discussions about the future beam lines. And so the report I'm going to show here that I'm going to say is pretty much what Maciej provided me based on the of their visit there. So as I said, the one of the well, it is the first component that is needed in the on the beam lines is the Wiggler, is the device that will create X-rays. Now, based on the previous discussions that we had when we were selecting the properties that we need, that we desire for the instruments, we selected the energy range of 5 to 20. Not that one. Oh, whatever. Energy of 5 to 20 keV, and this is basically the first. This is the defining parameter from which we are starting, and considering this range, considering the energy of the storage ring of Solaris and all the other parameters, one of the proposals that came out from the discussions is the superconducting Wiggler working at 4 Tesla with a particular geometry that has been calculated and has been proposed for such a device. And now there will continue the discussion of all of these parameters, fulfillment of all of our desires, on the way to creating the technical order that will be that will go further for the discussion and engagement with the potential suppliers. Now, with regards to this, there has been already created some timeline in which we should be working, and so. Altogether, all the different steps, including the engaging the supplier, preparing the technical parameter specification, as I said, altogether should take a little bit more than 2 years. That's for the building and delivering and actually integrating the Wiggler into the storage ring of Solaris. After that, or actually, it doesn't necessarily have to be after that. It will all the work, all the discussions, especially, can start in parallel with building the Wiggler. There is of course, the whole project of the entire beam line, and the process there will be very much the same as it was. As I outlined for the Wiggler, so we have had already some discussions where we know at least some areas, some ranges of parameters that we desire. Based on that, we will discuss these parameters with the specialists from different companies, and creating the technical specifications and starting the procurement, starting the building and incorporation of different components. And so from this point of view, the whole Beamline project, again, in different steps, should take, or at the moment is foreseen to take, for about 4 years. And after that, we are hoping to get X-rays and to get possibilities to do experiments that we have outlined, that I have outlined at the beginning. And this is actually the schedule for the whole project, in which the construction of the works around the Wiggler are actually shown to be in parallel with the whole entire Beamline construction. Actually, one of the first steps that I have omitted so far is a need to extend the experimental hall, because at the moment the experimental hall is built the way that these beamlines will not fit there, so we will have to actually move the physical walls of the experimental hall, extend it, and so that kind of construction will take some time too. It's approximately 1.5 years. But in meantime, all the discussions or all the projecting works can be done, such that the whole project again will take something of the order of 4 years. And that is actually the outline. This is the schedule that as it is outlined here, we will be very happy with it. So in summary, the cooperation between JNR and Solaris on the project of building these new beam lines as a part of the Solcris structural laboratory that has been established. From the official point of view of JNR, we will be actually preparing all the documents needed for opening a new theme regarding this. And that will be submitted to this PAC at the next meeting in June. And so the works are, or the discussions and all the design works are on the way. And part of that way is the part of that this discussion, part of that work is the construction of the timeline that I just have shown to you. And with this, I'm looking forward to X-rays and hope that you would like that too. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Norbert, also for saving us some time. Your talk is now open for questions, discussion. Yes, please, Boris.
I have my question to the superconducting Wiggler for Tesla. You need the cryogenic. Are you going to use the local cryogenic station, or from scratch you have to develop cryogenic for that?
Maybe I will delegate the answer to Matej, who is here, who is actually locally from Krakow, so he knows that very clearly.
Thank you. Maybe I will answer. Such similar Wiggler is, for example, installed in Bessie in Berlin, and probably we will use the similar construction. So the difference will be so in the period length and also in cryocoolers, because in the old system were used labeled system. Now we have an opportunity to use a new generation.
I'm sorry, I'm asking completely different question. Is there cryogenic system infrastructure already existing in Krakow, or you have to develop it from scratch, a new one?
No. So we have the basic cryogenic systems because we need also for synchrotron, but especially for the Wiggler, probably we will extend only the pipe from this system. So because the consumption of the nitrogen will be not so expensive for a Wiggler. Exactly, much more expensive. We will use much more nitrogen, liquid nitrogen for cryogenic monochromator.
Yeah, Professor Fuss, please.
Thank you for your talk. But I'm interested, what is the overall situation of synchrotron in Russia? So there's Novosibirsk, there's Kurchatov. So how does it fit in this overall picture of synchrotron radiation use in Russia? The first question, and the second question, it was not clear to me how many stations you really want. I understand one beamline, and you have three different purposes which you want to put. How will you add that on one beamline? And how will, and the third question, where is the state of the art in Krakow now? Is it already going on the building? Is the ring already there? Or what is the time schedule? Your schedule always started with zero, and then you had a number of months there, but there was no clear year which can tell us when will you start, when will you end. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the questions. Yeah, I can easily qualify that. Anyway, so starting with the first question and synchrotrons in Russia. So there is not a lot of synchrotrons around here. So talking about the area where, about the accessibility from Dubna, there is one at Kurchatov's Institute, which is it's not very new synchrotron. First of all, secondary, it's not all that accessible to us. They have their own politics, their own program for providing the beamline, and so it is actually not easy to access. People from JINR have a hard time to access that synchrotron. So, and so, yeah, when we were doing the statistics, when we were looking into the details of other people using synchrotron radiation, most of our people go either to Grenoble or to Japan, and so it's... sorry? No. No, these two stations are these two synchrotrons are the ones that are really used by our people, and so we were quite happy that Solaris is first of all closer, and it will be very accessible to us, because if we participate in the construction and everything, we have granted 50% of beam time in there. So that's first question. Second one. Number of beamlines, right? So, I should probably start from the third question. I have to clarify that the storage ring, the synchrotron, is already in place. It has been finished. What is it? Two years ago. It's already working. The electrons are already going around, and there are already two stations working at the synchrotron. So there are already two beam lines. Otherwise, it's empty space. And we would like to build. We would like to take one of these ports. So, but it's actually a double port. So we will have opportunity to build two beam lines there. But so there are, at the moment, there are different ideas how to construct this beamline such that we save some money, we save space, and so on. We optimize everything such that we can have three end stations, because this is sort of crucial for us. This is defined. We want to have these three end stations, and we would like to build them at one port, so maybe at two two holes in the synchrotron. Well, there are different scenarios. There might be even parallel beam lines that one end station will be closer to the source than the other, and so they will go just diverge by a couple angles.
So more information will be given in June.
Yeah, so as I said, at the moment, you were saying that in my schedules, in the timelines, there is always a zero, and we are at the time zero at the moment. So we are starting, we are doing all of these discussions. As I said, our colleagues went already to Oxford discussing the different possibilities. We have different experts looking at different stations, already existing and working stations all around the world, the different synchrotron sources, and we are basically taking ideas from there to make this feasible and workable.
Thank you. Yeah. You?
Concerning the first part of your talk, questions. First of all, in accordance with agreement, not only scientists which are working at Joint Institute for Nuclear Research can use this facility, and also the scientists from our member states also will have possibility to use. You know very well that it's not simple task to have a beam time independently, Berlin or Grenoble or Barcelona. It's a big question, but in this case we have good possibility also for our scientists from our states.
So, Hartmut, please.
Say a question more to Professor Kocak. How does your synchrotron compare with the upgraded ESRF, fourth generation ESRF? So will you stay, what range of energy do you have, and do you compare with what synchrotron do you compare it presently? With Spring 8, with ESRF in its present state, or with the updated ESRF?
Perhaps I can intervene. Oh. I mean, the synchrotron at Solaris, at Krakow, Solaris synchrotron is a copy of the MAX 4 from... It's exact copy of it.
Exactly. We can compare maybe the parameters with BESI, because we have 1.5 GeV energy, and this is a reason why we need to shift the energy range using Wiggler. But we have probably the modern design, because there's a double achromat system. Now, for multi-achromat system is an upgrade in ESRF. Our was probably the first.
Further questions, comments? If not, then thank you once again. And I suggest we proceed to the next presentation, which will be given by Professor Valery Svitsov. Information about an intent to open new themes, development of the critical design report for a new Dubna neutron source DNS-4 and construction of the laboratory for structural research of macromolecular and new materials at Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center of the Jagiellonian University, Krakow, Poland. So please, Valery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You have already heard from the report of Norbert Kucherka about our activity on establishing the GNR laboratory for macromolecular studies at Synchrotron Solaris. And he explained the history, and maybe I will skip this part of the presentations. Here are the title slides of several reports which have been presented at Program Advisory Committee on Condensed Matter Physics, at your Program Advisory Committee, at Scientific Council. And finally, in the end of the last year, we've got an agreement between GINAR and Jagiellonia University, and answering to the question of Professor Fruz about where is the zero time zero in all timelines. Time zero is already now. So from the beginning of this year, because first money were transferred for construction of this laboratory in the end of last year. So it's the time is already started. And because all these things, you know already, Norbert show this time schedule, overall and partial, and already I have information from Maciej Kozik that the invitation for potential partners to deliver some portions of equipment is already distributed. So we have started already the procedure of procurement of necessary equipment, and basic technical parameters not fixed strictly, but very close to this final fixing. And because all this situation, and in order to make order in all this activity at GINAR, I, on behalf of the Directorate of Frank Laboratory, I would like ask to the Program Advisory Committee to support our intention to open new theme within the GINAR topical plan for the term of 3 years, because it's a normal procedure. In spite of the construction of the laboratory will be longer, for sure, but we can open the new theme only for 3 years. And in case if you will approve this our intent, and if we will get an approval also from the Scientific Council, on the next session of your Program Advisory Committee, we will submit all necessary documents with the expertise as it's necessary from the regulatory documents of GINAR on opening the new theme. And situation with the another activity which is going on in the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics is concerning the new neutron source which have to replace IBR2 after its service lifetime will be exhausted in mid of 30s. Also, I'd like to remind you that we have started first discussions in 2015 when we have started preparation of the next seven-year plans. And here we have put the lines that we have to prepare the concept of using IBR 30 after 2000, in the mid of 30s of the next year. And at that time we understood that we cannot extend the lifetime of the IBR 2, and that we have to build the new neutron source instead of IBR 2. And in our seven-year plan, we put this line, feasibility study for the design of a new neutron source at GINAR. And this activity continues in year 2017, several reports on Program Advisory Committee, including the reports on user demands for the new source. In last year, this activity continues. And we are thankful to our chairman. He also took participation in discussion on this problem, and he proposed in a special remark during one of the sessions of our Program Advisory Committee proposed his suggestions to the timeline schedule, and we gratefully accepted all these proposals. At present, we have reported and published two versions of the new neutron source, which have differences. I will not put into details at the moment, because tomorrow you will have the dedicated talk from Aksyonov about this activity. And at present, we have the following situation. Other activity, except of Program Advisory Committee meetings and Scientific Council meetings. Two meetings of the International Working Subgroup on Neutron Source, a subgroup of the GINAR Strategic Planning Group, took place in June of the last year and yesterday in January of year 2019. Also, at the beginning of December of the last year, we carried out the first workshop, Advanced Ideas and Experiments for the New Dubna Neutron Source, Related Moderators and Infrastructure. Also, in the middle of the last year, we signed the contract with the general designer of Russian research nuclear installations, with NIKED. And this contract supports the preliminary design of the new Dubna neutron source based on two different ideas, which I told you during explanation of the previous slide. These two different options of the neutron source. What we are planning to get from NIKED is to get some preliminary estimation and approval of the general concepts of these two installations. And so this activity is going on. We already have, yesterday during our workshop, we already have the first the first slide with the beam lines at the new neutron source, with the dedicated moderators, dedicated beam lines, and the total number was around 32 new beam lines. I'm not going into detail in this my talk. And this is our proposal to the GNR strategic long-range plan for constructing this neutron source. And again, the situation, all this activity have been done within other topics, other themes of the GNR. But now we see that the range of this task exceeds the existing themes. So we would like again to ask you to support our proposal to open the dedicated theme within GNR topical plan for, not for construction of the new source, as it's written here, development of the critical design report for the new source. So we have to prepare the technical project of this source, and afterwards, and this critical design report will necessary include the scientific case. So we will prepare both the technical substantiation and the scientific case for the new source. And after, all these documents could be considered for future development. So we are asking your support to open the new theme for development of the CDR report. And as for the previous case, in case of approval, all necessary materials will be submitted at the next PAC meeting. So that's all, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very, 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 very much for this clear presentation. Let me add just one point before opening the discussion. Usually we are faced with new proposals for new themes coming from a certain group. And as usual, the procedure is that we discuss it here now, and afterwards at the general discussion, and finally it goes to the PAC recommendations. Now these proposals come directly from the Frank Laboratory Directorate, and I think it's an absolutely clear case. Of course, we will discuss it, and as usual, tomorrow we will hear a couple of talks about the DNS4 project yet, and afterwards we will have the recommendation during the general discussion. But at this stage, I already would like to congratulate the Frank Laboratory Directorate for absolutely professionally coordinating both projects, the Solaris and also the DNS4 project. So I am absolutely convinced that it is necessary to open these themes. That was my remark before giving floor to further questions and comments. So please.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, Sasha, please.
So, Valery, you mentioned that the idea was created in 2015. And till now, we don't have a clear scientific case. And scientific case would help to identify what parameters the new source should have. Should it be long pulse neutron source, short pulse neutron source? Do we need intensity? Do we need specific time structure or something? I think that we lost a lot of time, and again we are starting spending money for two alternative designs without having an idea which project better suits the specific scientific program. Or do we simply need to build a new neutron source to extend the lifetime of IBR2 without addressing any specific new scientific ideas?
I would like to say that the situation is not like Alexander explains in his question. And our workshop in December and our yesterday's meeting demonstrated that we are considering several options for the source parameters, including the length, the pathways, including the repetition rate and intensity. What we have established at that moment, we have established the average intensity or neutron flux density on the surface of moderator at the level of 10 to 14, which is utmost level for modern neutron source. And we are planning to have the peak neutron flux density one order higher than for existing neutron source like IBR2 or neutron sources which are going to be established soon like ESS. And the scientific case will be such an experiment which cannot be performed at existing and future neutron sources. And we are developing this scientific case in parallel with discussion of the design of the instruments. And this is the situation.
Thank you. Sasha, please.
I probably can add something to this discussion, because we had this sort of a discussion of this situation during the workshop in beginning of December and the whole day yesterday during the work of the working group on the code source. So there are, in December and yesterday was absolutely clear that in the lab is made quite a sorrowful analysis about the request to the pulse duration of dependent for different class of instruments. And this was made by Anatoly Balagurov, and he showed it yesterday. It's clear that what we have to do in one case or another case, it's clear also that clear that we have to concentrate on the long pulse source. Because from a long pulse source you can make a short pulse, but opposite doesn't work. And therefore, the duration of the pulse now, the situation is, and this also was a question discussed yesterday, when there is the upper level, which is defined like power, average power about 10 to 15 megawatt, you just more or less define the total amount of neutrons what you can get from the source. And this Valery what just mentioned about 10 to 14 average flux, which is on the level of all modern sources. This is the limit imposed by the power, by the cooling system. And Professor Shabalin can tell more about this, but this is what was stated. So this is their expertise for telling this. And people from Reactor Design Institute are also supporting the point. So now the question is how we can distribute these neutrons in time, what structure we can get. And this is what we see now, that suggestions which is made like 200, 300 microseconds and about 10 hertz of repetition rate, it's just a primary start. There was a discussion yesterday that within the next half a year, let's say, maybe shorter, it will be analysis of different instruments, what the optimal conditions are. It's more or less the way how ESS went. You can ask Ferry Meze how they did it in ESS. But it was exactly the same story. You have the maximum parameter, you have to find the optimal situation for the operations of your instruments. So this is the first point. With respect to the science case, there can be two different options. Either you're looking for killer strategy, to say you would like to discover Higgs bosons, and therefore would like to have six billions, or you don't have killer strategy. You have just would like to satisfy the whole field, different fields of interest. And this is actually science case which did not change. It can such second science case cannot change within year to year. And if we had the science case which was accepted ESS 3-4 years ago, we certainly were modified, but we hardly will invent something new. One should be also quite clear in this. The areas which we have to answer, they are over there. We can look for possibilities, what can be especially done with this kind of source, because it will be much stronger pulse in this case. But this is something that has to be worked out with the time. So nobody, at my understanding, is telling today that everything is ready. We're staying in some kind of beginning of the process, and the process is going, and science case should be also written, and parameters should be defined. So if it's an answer, Sasha, to your question, then I would be happy.
Thank you, Sasha. That was, I think, really very clear. Briefly, I also to reflect, Sasha, I mean, there are so many Sashas here, Sasha Belyushkin's question. Now it is about starting a 3 years process for the development of the critical design report. Of course, a kind of science case, but only in the sense, as Sasha Joffe told, we are not looking for the Higgs boson or something like this. So we have a broad science case, of course. This should be concluded before. This is quite clear. But along the lines of the yesterday discussion, I am pretty sure that it will be completed, say, within 1 or 1.5 years, in a state that the critical design report can be based on. So further comments?
Danish.
Yes, very.
I would like to add that maybe we will have a Higgs boson in our program also, because one of the proposals yesterday which we discussed is the construction of a very cold neutron source with a vertical guideline in order to look for neutron anti-neutron oscillations. Like this. It's a kind of Higgs boson in reality. Of course, maybe it will not be the first day experiment for this source, but potentially it could be done.
Absolutely, thank you very much. Of course, this is just the point where we should then go into details, long pulse source, and for this project you need the short, how short, and so on and so forth. But for this we will have at least 1.5 years, and then for the critical design report another 1.5 years. So it's time enough. Don't hurry up.
Just very short remark. I think this activity is a part of a very important activity running at the moment at GNR. It is development of strategic long-term plan for the whole institute. And in my view, if PAC will endorse the new team for 3 years, exactly what we need to develop the CDR for the new source, which will be, I would say, mega science project for the future research program of the whole institute. In my view, it's extremely essential.
Thank you very much. Yes, Pavel.
I would like to make a short comment about the question connected with what kind of pulse we could have, and what is desirable, and so on. Because you see, I think to make long pulse from the short one is quite easy. You simply use the water moderator, which gives us 150 microseconds pulse without any problem. It will be full moderated neutrons. And therefore, from short pulse, it's easy to make long pulse. But from long pulse to make short pulse, it's a little bit problematic. Not many examples we have. And another point is that for spectroscopy, even time-of-flight spectroscopy, short pulse is much better than long one. It could be another approach. We should ask question for designers. Could we put triple-axis spectrometer on this source if it has so high average flux? Why not? But the question is, what is background, what is the conditions of shielding, and so on. So maybe it also should be investigated during the design of scientific case of this stuff.
Yes, I have a proposal to Alexander Joffe as the chairman of this working subgroup to invite Professor Alexeyev to our working subgroup in order to...
I'm not a designer of instruments for pulse source. So the people who suggest this
maybe can analyze such situation.
So, Pavel, you definitely, you certainly absolutely welcome. It will be very good if you can find a way how to marry triple axis machine with the post structure. You were just talking about average stuff. It'd be great because we don't know how to do it. I'm actually looking forward, but only short comment that about, certainly if you send in a short pause to the moderator, you're getting a longer pause, clear. But the question is if we'd like to make to have more neutrons in this pause or not. This is the point.
A very, very, very important point, I would like to, of course. I'm afraid we have to proceed to a very, very urgent point, namely the coffee break. And in view of the short time, I suggest that to also to shorten the coffee break to 15 minutes, not longer. So please reconvene within 15 minutes. Please have a very fast coffee.